I'm with Elske Van Holck of STET, the English Theatre, and this is the third or fourth time we've spoken because you've been very busy for the last few weeks.
Yes, you're right, absolutely. We had a sold-out season in December with two beautiful performances, which was great. We raised €1,200 for a charity, for a Stichting Sport Stimulering Gehandicapten, so we're very proud. And now, indeed, 2019 is bringing us already the first performance here, a wonderful production. That comes from Edinburgh, actually, where we found it in the last Edinburgh
festival. And what's it called?
It's called Woke, and it's written by actually an American actress, Appia Campbell, together with Meredith Yarbrough. It was a collaboration between
But it's basically an English show.
It is an English show. It's totally in English. But
It is English.
She developed it in Edinburgh, absolutely. But she's American of origin. So that gives an extra flavor because the Woke takes place in the US and it's about a young girl who mirrors herself in the life of an older woman, Asata Shakur, who is a Black Panther. And so the whole issue is color in this play. We see it performed by one woman, Appia Campbell, and it's a stunning play that we found, and she sings, and you see the people coming on stage, and they are there, and they talk about the issue of being Black, of the girl, the young girl, only discovers actually the color of her skin because of the Ferguson riots that have just taken place in the city next to where she goes to college.
It's quite important to you, isn't it, for the stuff you put on to have a political dimension. You don't just put on an ordinary play or a nice comedy. You always have
to say
something. Well,
we do. We try to reach out to our audience as broad as possible. But this, before we had Borders, and then we had The Christmas Carol, you see. So there is a very great variety in our programming because there is so little English language theatre. So we try to accommodate a lot of tastes. But indeed, it's true, Borders had a political context and Woke has a political context again. But our next show is, you can also say it's political, it's a children's show about having a child with a disability. So, you know, there is always a message in every play, because even The Christmas Carol that we
of
have
course,
seen so often.
Of course, Dickens was very political indeed.
Absolutely.
Do you never feel tempted to do anything which is, I don't know, non-political or just an ordinary straight comedy or something like that?
Well, I think there's very little to find that doesn't have a message, you know, other than straight entertainment. That is fine to do, but I think even if you go to a comedy, very often there is a hidden...
Absolutely. I think everything you see has some sort of bias, even if you
exactly.
look at sort of television from the 1970s with half-naked girls running around. It still says something about society at the time.
Absolutely.
The things you do
what
tend
do you
to
think?
Be quite...
Because even Akeborn is and Bennett's, everything is...
Akeborn says more about England in the 70s or 80s
exactly,
than anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly, that's what I just want to say. And, you know, it's
It's not overtly political. It says
absolutely,
an awful lot, but it's not
absolutely,
overt.
Absolutely, absolutely. These Borders and Woke definitely are. I have to say that is indeed close to my heart. Because, a long, long time ago, I was a very activist social worker. So it is definitely there. And I worked as a refugee worker. So indeed, those issues appeal to me. But having said that, we have always said that STET is an organization that programs for a very wide variety of people. So we do have open-air performances, and even the open-air performances have a political message. Often Shakespeare is riddled with political messages, and okay, it's maybe a 17th century, but it's very, very universal. Dickens has, as you mentioned yourself already. So there is, it's always this finding this balance what is political, or is it so open? Overtly political. Woke indeed is overtly political. Borders was also political. It makes a statement about the present state of society today. It's something that appeals to me, but I have found that it appeals to a lot of people.
Absolutely. But I mean, first and foremost, it must be good drama, good writing.
Absolutely.
Above the message. Because, as I always say, good art is not dependent on the subject. You can make good art about anything or bad art about anything. And an important subject doesn't necessarily make a good or important play.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is what you see happening nowadays is also the discussion between what is art, what is community art, is there actually still space for autonomous art? You know, so there that is a very different discussion, of course, and I'm very firm on that, in the sense that I think that we are losing out sometimes on autonomous art, that we don't look at art anymore as something that comes from a deep inspiration or a deep need or a deep want to create in a beautiful way, which may not be beautiful to you because there is a subjective vision on what or there's a subjective feeling on what appeals to you and what doesn't, or what hurts you, or what moves you. That's maybe the better word. It's not hurting, but moves you. So, but there is definitely something there that we don't look at that deeply anymore. We reach. On the other hand, it's also very important in this individualized society to find art that connects, that binds, that creates communities. So in that sense, community art is a very, very important part of the arts as well. So you have to strike sort of a balance between.
But isn't it for the artists to make these statements and comments rather than believing that anybody anywhere can make these comments?
I don't understand what you mean.
I mean that art is something that's created by artists, not
Absolutely.
Necessarily by laymen. And just because it's put in the context of art, like in a community theatre, doesn't make it art.
That's true, but that is the discussion a little bit, because an artist can really feel that the group itself is the piece of art, you know, is the process, the outcome, or is not that important. It's the process of establishing connected work that is driven by the want of the artist to create a connecting, a binding make a creation that connects communities or connects needs of people in an artistic way. So it's a very grey area, and it doesn't stop at a sculptor here and a play there. It goes far beyond that, I mean.
Of course, but I'm not a great believer in art as therapy. I think the artist should do his work, and the accountant should do his work, and the lawyer should do his work. And
absolutely.
And I think that when there is a merging of art with whatever community or anything like that, it tends to dilute the art rather than enhance it.
Well, it depends on how the artist sees it. That's exactly what you said yourself as well. I think there are a lot of young artists see themselves as a full participant of the place where they are. They want to interact with that community, with that geographical place, and that's what their art is about. So it's a very fluid relationship sometimes, and sometimes it is indeed the l'art pour l'art is actually virtually no longer seen. And I think on the one hand, that is a very, very positive move, because in our individualized society, it's very necessary that through arts there may be connections made. But that can also be that you experience a play together and talk about it together, that then you're on the receiving end, and that the play moves you whilst you're not participating in the play, so that it is not a community play, but that the play itself is performed by professionals.
But that surely is what art should be.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if you involve people who are not artists, then that dilutes the art.
Well, that is your statement. that's your vision, maybe. It can dilute. I agree that it can dilute the art, but in certain, and sometimes it's meant to dilute
the art. I understand that, but there is a very blurred line.
There is a blurred
line. When it stops being art and when
Absolutely.
It starts being
Absolutely.
a community project.
Sometimes you even... I fully understand your hesitation there, because it can be very pompously announced as a piece of art, whilst it is a community process that we look at. But as I said, there isn't. It's not that black and white anymore.
No. It's not black and white at all. Absolutely. But there is a point where there is a tipping point.
There is a tipping point. But it's for me the tipping point is, for example, if it is an all amateur cast. I'm just talking about theatre at the moment. If there's an all amateur cast, then this is a community project, which is fine. It can be high quality for the abilities there are there. But if it is an artist, and I always think about Adelheid Rose, who is quite a well-known Dutch artist, quite internationally quite well-known as well, who works a lot in communities, with communities, and she creates beautiful work with the community. Alice Sandweg in the Roo Theatre, she involved people from the street in her plays, and it didn't dilute the art at all. It can be equally
beautiful.
Absolutely,
in a circumstance like that, yeah. I agree. But
I don't know whether you went to see Roma. The actress is not, Cleo, the actress is not a professional artist. She's a teacher. And she turns out to be a most fascinating and beautiful actress.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be
trained
or in full-time employment to be an artist. You can work as a road sweeper and be an artist.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a debate or something.
It's a very
could develop into an argument. I understand the viewpoint from the community side, but I see more clearly the viewpoint from the performer or artist point of view.
Well, I mean, for example, in
theatre, I mean, all professional actors, I would say, would despise amateur actors. And I think the reason
that goes a bit far, but
in my experience, and I think the point being is that amateurs essentially do something for their own fun and enjoyment, and therefore they are less objective, they are not necessarily less able, but there is a different attitude, a different starting point.
Yeah, but then you get into the black and white situation. So what you see nowadays is that there is a lot of mixture of highly professional artists who, to create, use amateurs, if we can call them like that, or use people with a certain knowledge in the community, or with certain experiences in the community as part of their creative process. And in that sense, it is that's where you just told me about that you went to Alice in Wonderland. It's partly danced by members of the community, and still it was a brilliant piece because it was set up by very highly professional dancers who are training.
It was amazing. I mean, they were little children, aged, 5 or 6 years
exactly.
old, and they all
did
performed
the ensemble,
absolutely incredible.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't see the joy in that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is a combination. So, I think we do agree that it isn't a black and white, and certainly not today anymore. The lonely artist in his or her atelier. You rarely see them.
Absolutely. And what has changed, and a very, very, very significant change in the last 15, 20 years, any sort of form of art which is involves anything technical like filmmaking or music making, now everybody has facilities for filmmaking and making music that would have been literally impossible 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
So, you know, somebody can make a film which in quality and everything else is as good as something off television, and the same with music. And I think that has opened up a whole new avenue for people to express themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I still think if you need plumbing work done, you need a good plumber. And if you need artwork done, it needs to be by an artist who is committed to doing a professional job. You know, it's like any other profession.
You notice this a lot, especially with graphic design and things like that, which now everybody has the facilities to do it, but not the talent. So you see a lot of very bad graphic art because people think they can do it themselves, and physically they can do it themselves.
Absolutely. And I think that is also indeed in that sense, if you were talking about that, in diluting art, that indeed dilutes the art of graphic arts, and so in the graphic arts, and so it is true that there is a balance to be struck. But I myself personally do think that an artist needs to be grounded in today's world and in the society and in the geographic environment where he or she lives and works, and
absolutely. Art should always reflect the times and the feelings and everything else.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure that it's enhanced by actually including those elements, I think.
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, because it can be very badly done as well, but it can also be done very, very well.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Yeah. That was Elske van Holck of Step the English Theatre, and this is Michael Hasted of Arts Talk magazine.